Om Shanti. Let us all wave our single hand and welcome our dear Didi, Didi Jayanti, the one who knows no boundaries, no limitations of the physical body. One day she is in one time zone, another day she is in another time zone. And I don't think there is any topic under the sun which she hasn't addressed on. And I don't think there is any profession or any business which she hasn't spoken to or addressed to. Someone who is the holder of the wisdom, and also someone who represents Baba, Mama and Dadi Janki specifically, but all the Dadis who were the spiritual leaders of this organization and our spiritual leader, our spiritual mother today. And we are really very, very, very fortunate to have her here in Mount Abu in this pleasant atmosphere and climate. So let us once again, with all our warm heart, welcome.
Om Shanti. I'm happy to be with all of you here today. And I'm glad that destiny has arranged a different type of climate for you from the Middle East and a different type of scenario. Beautiful greenery everywhere. And you came up the mountain and you'll only go down the mountain when you're ready to leave. And I don't know what time of day that'll be. Maybe it'll be the afternoon. But certainly coming up and down the mountain in the last few days and yesterday, it's such a beautiful scene. You see the mountains, and then you see the clouds, and then you see the greenery of the valleys. It's quite spectacular. And also there's many, many little waterfalls that start in the monsoons and they disappear after the monsoons. So it's a very stunning scenario that nature gives us at this time of year especially. So it's lovely that you've made the journey here for a spiritual purpose, not just as a tourist to see the scenery. And I think at this moment, especially in the Middle East, you're very, very aware of how delicate and fragile times are. So much uncertainty from day to day. The last several years have been a little bit like this, but especially now. And you literally don't know what's going to happen next. And so at such times, Raj Yoga is absolutely vital, not just to be able to survive, but to thrive, to be able to manage to live life in the way that human beings should be living. The first lesson is one of the most powerful lessons that everyone needs to understand. I know that when I heard the first lesson, it changed my life completely. Then the second lesson, and it became deeper, and so on and so on. And all of you have had many lessons, and it's now time to be able to practice. What you learn here, you're practicing here, but also you carry away with you as gifts from here to practice there also. And so two things from the theory of the soul. And there's many, many benefits. If you were to make a list of the benefit of soul consciousness, and it's good homework, try it. What is the benefit of soul consciousness? Try writing it down for yourself. Not now. Write the topic. But through the day, just keep reflecting on it. And you'll keep adding to the list. You'll find that you keep adding something more, something more, something more. But two things I want to highlight. One is my own awareness of who I am. My identity. and the stage of self-esteem. You heard today's murali, is that right? Everybody was there for the murali? Yeah. So in the murali, Baba spoke about how on one level there's soul consciousness, dehi abhimani, awareness of the soul. And on the other side there's the ego of I. And then there's the ego of inferiority. And human nature is to jump from the one to the other. We didn't know about the soul, so we weren't in that state of soul consciousness. But we would move from one day ego, oh, I'm the best. And then you meet somebody better than you. And you think, oh no, I wish I was like that. And then you come down. So that fluctuation between superior and inferiority continues a lot of the time. But if I practice soul consciousness, it brings me to a state in which there's true recognition of my own value and who I am. My value doesn't depend on my bank account, my property, my nationality, my education, my position. It's totally independent of all the external things. It's dependent on me and my inner core values. And where I sometimes fluctuate and come down, it's because I'm not following those core values in my life. If in silence, in meditation, I become aware of my natural treasures, peace and love and truth and joy, purity, these five virtues are my treasures, and my value and how I value myself and see myself depends on the extent to which I'm using these values in my day-to-day activity. If I know these are my values and in my behavior I divert myself away from that for whatever reason, then in my own eyes my value has gone down. Somebody sees me, doesn't see me, knows about it, doesn't know about it, doesn't matter. But my own value for myself comes down. And when I start following those core values in my life, because I've experienced them, and I know it's not just for 20 minutes meditation or 30 minutes meditation, but these are my natural qualities which I can use every moment in my life. And when I start doing that, in that state of soul consciousness, I have this amazing balance of humility but also dignity. And that dignity is something that nobody can take away from me, because it's my own property. And so in terms of living life where everything fluctuates, today I have property, tomorrow I don't. Today I'm a CEO, tomorrow I have no job. All of these things keep going. So where my dignity depends on these external things, I'm going to be hit hard if something goes wrong. But if my dignity depends on my self-esteem, on my own inner core values, doesn't matter what's going on around me, outside of me, I'll be able to maintain a state of stability. And I won't get ego, because I know that everyone has these original qualities. In terms of property, someone else has more, someone else has less. In all the other things, education, some more, some less. And so it's very easy to get ego about what I have. But when I know that we are God's children and we all have these same original qualities, no ego, everyone is that shining star. And so first is the benefit of my own identity, which is my eternal spiritual identity. And the second is, if I'm stable in the awareness of the soul, then when I look at others, I see them also as souls. And I relate to them as souls, not just as souls, but as souls who have those same qualities within them. So I see their goodness, I see their beauty, I see them as my family. Souls, children of the one parent, brothers and sisters, or even brother and brother. And so there's a big difference in my relationship with others around me. Immediate family, but also people at work, but also people you meet socially. And even if you don't know somebody, they don't know what you're doing, for what you're doing is seeing them as a soul. And so your vibrations are such that it's easy for them to become warm and friendly. If I see them as others, this one's black, this one's white, this one's brown, or this one's from the north, this one's from the south, all of those things create blocks because we have preconceptions. Somebody from south must be like this, somebody from the north must be like this. But in that awareness of soul, myself, and seeing others as souls, it becomes one in which there's a feeling of interconnectedness, not just on a human level, but a spiritual level, which is unlimited. Children of the one parent, all of us one family. Would this be useful for you out there? Who feels this exercise of reminding yourself as a soul and seeing others as a soul would be useful out there? Some of you are not sure. Try it. Some of you are raising your hands, but not everyone. But whilst you're here, still 24 hours, just practice being the soul, seeing the soul. And here, of course, we know that we are one spiritual family, so it's easy. But at the airport, when the assistant at the counter is a bit impatient, or she's got too many things on, she's feeling pressured, so she's not giving proper attention, just see her as a soul. And she'll calm down visibly. Other people at the airport, airports are quite stressful places. Everybody's in a panic, in impatient, and there's always this tension. But you stay calm, stay here, Om Shanti, I'm a peaceful soul. Remind yourself and see others in that same way. And you'll create an aura of peace around you. And others will also relax and become peaceful in your company. Even if it's company of just standing in a queue, whatever it is. But you can see the quality of relationship depends on the way I see the other. My attitude, my behavior, all of this carries a vibration that reaches others. And so the first lesson is incredibly powerful, very, very beautiful. And for me, it had answered at least 75% of all the questions I had. So reflect deeply on this first subject. Go into the depths of feeling what the mind is doing, checking what's happening in my mind. And then my sanskars. What are my sanskars like? How deep is the peace within myself? Can I increase its level? Yes, definitely. I can increase my stock of peace, my stock of spiritual love, my stock of truth, and every day move it up further and further. So I carry a whole stock with me so that at all times I'm able to send out those vibrations to others. So just experiment and you'll see the difference it makes. The second subject, the subject of God. To have clarity in this subject is something that swamis and sadhus and philosophers and saints have always wanted. But there's so many human ideas floating around that you don't know what to believe. And when there's that sort of confusion, because there's so many conflicting ideas that are given, then some people just say, well, I don't want to bother with this. I'm not interested. And they just want to go on their own way materialistically, because spirituality isn't offering them anything. And religion has made them really lose interest, because they don't get answers to questions, and also because they don't see the leaders practicing what they preach. So here, now that I know God, how close can I be to God? Not all of you have pencil and paper, but that's fine. Just visualize something. Visualize a sheet of paper. Put yourself in the middle of that sheet. Just a dot. You don't need to draw your face. You are that eternal star. And then put near the star you, those who are playing a part with you, who are closest to you. Then the next, those who you're connected with, but not on a daily basis, but maybe a few months every year. Every few months you meet them, you see them. It could be friends, relatives, it could be your doctor, your optician, your dentist, people you see regularly, but not every day. And then put them on the outer circle, people you see maybe once a year, Diwali, Christmas, New Year, something like that. You can visualize your sheet. Yeah. Now a question. Where on that sheet did you put God? Somewhere? Nowhere? We think about our relationships with all of these other circles, but we forget that the eternal relationship is with the one above. Can I not just put God on the periphery of that frame, not even just once a week or once a month, or maybe three times a year on festival occasions, but can I bring God into the center? Why? Because at the moment the soul is very depleted. This is why we keep making the wrong decisions. This is why we don't have control over our thoughts. We don't have control over our words. We say things we don't intend to and then try and apologize afterwards. But meanwhile, the arrow has hit the target and has pierced the heart and is causing deep pain. And so the damage is done. And by my saying sorry, it's not going to repair the wound. Can I bring God back into the center of my life so that I have God's influence with me all the time and I'm able to draw power from God and have the influence of God on me at all times. Earlier I mentioned a few things about how we know that the soul has become empty, the battery has run dry. But there's many other signals we get that things are not as they should be. The ones we love the most are the ones we fight with the most. Am I right? If somebody's at work, you're polite, you have to be polite, you're going to get a salary, and if you're not polite, you don't get your salary, you're out of a job. And so there are certain standards, certain norms that we have to observe. But when we're with family, these are the people I'm closest to, the ones I love the most, but then all my old samskaras keep jumping up and down, and they come out the most with those who are the nearest. And so instead of giving love and joy to the people I really love the most, I'm giving them pain, or I'm taking sorrow from them. There's an exchange of pain happening non-stop. How often is it that there's an exchange of happiness, not just for an hour or a few hours, but in a very deep way through our presence with each other? So we see all the signs, and I again just mentioned one more, but we see all the signs of the soul not having power. But now if I'm with God, can I feel traffic control chilling? So connecting with God, and use the word Baba, very sweet, very simple. And so when I connect with Baba, I'm able to draw all that power with one thought. Doesn't even have to be 10 minutes, 20 minutes. How long is traffic control? 3 minutes. And in 3 minutes you can just simply connect, recharge, then you're better equipped to do what you need to do. And of course many, many other benefits of that too. But this is maybe one of the most important, to be able to take what God has and use that for myself in my own life. And to have God as my protector, God as my mother, father, teacher, friend and guide. Many, many relationships with God. But if I remember especially these five, mother, father, teacher, friend and guide, the Guru, the Satguru, who leads me from this world to the world beyond. And so if I have God's company with me at all times, just imagine I have all of God's treasures with me, but also I have God's protection with me, and I understand the whole scene of the drama, not just from my perspective, but from God's perspective. How does God see this scene? The more you study the Muralis, the more you understand more and more that the way God sees people is different to the way we see people. And the way God sees the situation of the world is very different to how I see it. And so this aspect of relationships with God is something that will make sure that you always have access to love and truth and joy and wisdom and power and purity. Think about every single virtue, and God is the source of that. Think about spiritual power, and again, God is the source of that. And so the more I stay connected with God, the more beautiful my life becomes, because I'm then using that spiritual power and those beautiful qualities in my life all the time. And it definitely makes life much sweeter Without God, life has become a little bit dry, a little bit empty, and we don't know what to do. Why is it that people chase around for entertainment so much? There's an emptiness, and they think that this is the way to fill it. And of course it's not. It's even more of a drain. But whether it's going on holiday here and there, whether it's eating out, nothing is there to satisfy the inner being, the soul. And so discovering this amazing secret of who is God and connecting with God through the variety of relationships, it means that I always have my protector with me, not just for the day of Raksha Bandhan, because it's not a human who's my protector. The bondage of purity of Rakhi, Raksha, Raksha Bandhan. The bondage is that I decide I have to follow God's principles. And in return, God offers a total package of protection and blessings. Not only protection, but also blessings. Who's experienced God's blessings? The fact that you're here, it's a blessing. You know, if you say to a person, come for something at the temple, they'll say, I'll see my diary. If you say, let's go out for dinner at such and such a place, they won't say, I'll see my diary. They'll just instantly say, oh yes, I'd love to do that. So we make space for everyone, but we don't make space for God. But God is the one who can be with me at all times, not just making me powerful and successful, but also protecting me and sharing His blessings with me at all times. And surely in today's world, we need blessings more than we need anything else. And to have God's blessings is truly a wonderful protection. And the third subject that may have created more questions in your minds than have answered, which is fine. As you go along, you'll be able to see the relevance and the truth of it. And that is the knowledge of the cycle. And the cycle is telling me where we are at now in terms of cosmic time. We are in Kali Yuga, but it's actually the end of Kali Yuga. The cycle also tells me that the night is about to go and the day is about to begin. And what our preparation is the preparation for the day. The golden age, the age of truth, the age of the deities, divine beings here on our planet. We are those divine beings. And God's love is transforming us from human into deity. And so the cycle is a very important part of Raj Yoga, because if you do things according to the time, it's no effort at all. If you have to wake up in the morning, the sun is shining, you have to wake up. If you want to wake up, time is telling you to wake up. And yet, if you want to stay awake at 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe your job is such that you have to work all hours. Maybe you work at the airport, maybe you do other things, maybe you're a doctor, you're on call for a long time, 72 hours call. So there are occasions when it doesn't matter whether it's day or night, I have to be available, I have to be ready. But for some, it's more orderly and systematic. And so you do things according to the time. And so today, even though I see disaster and death and decay all around me, deterioration of values of the environment, of human consciousness, all of these things. But yet, that's what's out there. What's in here? in here, is it that I know that the golden age is coming? And am I preparing myself for the golden age? And if I know that the golden age is coming and I don't prepare, then it's a bit silly. I had the fortune, I knew, and yet I didn't take advantage of it. And it's very important to know what time it is in the unlimited clock. And this is the most precious time of all, the confluence age. In India they have every 4 years Purushottam month. Who's aware of that? Purushottam month? Not many. I'm surprised. The others are not aware? Okay, well, I wouldn't have been aware until I came to Gyan anyway. But like you have leap year in the Western calendar, in the Indian calendar, you have every 4 years leap month. And they say that the charity you do in that short period is multiplied by four than charity you do at any other time of year. And so there's always a special time, which is a special period of preparation. And so this is now the extra age, the leap age, very small, very short, but the one that's the most powerful, because this is the one in which we know ourselves, we know God, and we know karma philosophy, and we understand what we need to do. And because I know all of these things, this is the time I can do the highest karma of all. And that is to be able to bring souls closer to God through my own experience and understanding. On another level they say, what's the highest form of charity? And they say it's forgiveness. And it's only when I take God's love and my heart opens and I say, well, this one did this to me, but it's Kali Yuga, and so I'm not going to hold anything against this individual. They're doing the best that they can to manage. And so in this period of the confluence, the end of the old, the beginning of the new, this short period is when we can earn our fortune for the whole cycle. Thoughts, words, actions, bringing souls closer to God, understanding all the details of karma myself, so that I stay within the boundaries that I've been taught. So sometimes when we hear the cycle, it's a bit confusing. And we think, well, I came to learn to meditate. I didn't come for this. But in fact, when I know this, it's a huge, huge bonus and an incentive for my own meditation. And knowing the cycle also means that definitely, whatever the darkness is, there has to be light. Doesn't matter how dark the night is. The night finishes as soon as the dawn appears. And then depending on which part of the planet you're in, then the dawn comes quickly or the dawn comes slowly. Whichever, doesn't matter. But we know after the night, the dawn is going to come. It's an absolute assurance. No way that nature is going to default on that. So this period, we're moving from darkness into the day. And so during this time, can I use my thoughts, my time, and my skills for God's work? My thoughts, my time, and my skills. Using my mind in the right way, seeing others with the right consciousness, spending time with myself in silence. Morning and evening are the best hours, with any time you can manage is fine. But certainly start the day with time for yourself. Time for spiritual study. And the best is to go to your center on a daily basis. You've come here through our network of centers, so there's a center you're connected with. So give them a pleasant surprise when you go back and say, by the way, I'm going to come to class every morning. And somewhere it's 4:45, somewhere it's 6 o'clock, somewhere it's 7 o'clock. The clock goes on and the cycle keeps moving. And so even though I may be in the morning hours, I know London is in its sleep time hours. So, but according to the clock, according to the unlimited clock, we've got only very few seconds left before the bell goes, we go home, and a new world starts again. So we have a few minutes left for questions. I'm sure most of your questions have been answered very, very well through the system of teachers and the Zoom classes that are ongoing. But if there are any questions, indicate. If you come forward, we'll give you a mic and tell us how long you've been studying Raj Yoga. If you just wait a minute.
Om Shanti. We came from Qatar. Actually, we are in Gyan since 19 years. But Baba called us for the first time here. But I feel that I'm not late. My question is, sister, how the transformation of this, like from confluence age to Satyug, maybe it cannot be completely destructive way. Is it through destruction way or transformation? This small, I feel that I always think we are going to Satyug according to Purusharth and everything, but how that transformation?
The transformation has to be first in here. And so we are the bricks of Satyug, the foundation of Satyug. Satyug can't come until humans have changed their sanskaras. So that's what I need to focus on, my own inner transformation. And then externally, we are seeing all the signs of climate change and environmental deterioration. And so there's going to be more and more and more. Why? Because the governments and the oil companies aren't listening. It's as simple as that. And so people are not listening. And so just think about what has happened just since the start of the year, in these 7 months. Whether it's wildfires, whether it's the melting of the glaciers, whether it's floods, whether it's drought, whether it's desertification, it's no more theory. Climate change is here. It's not going to change. It's here, right now. In London, we never used to have fans, never mind AC. The cars didn't have AC, they only had heaters. And now, last week in London, the average temperature was 34 degrees Celsius. When it's 24 degrees in London, people say, oh, wonderful. When it becomes 27 and 28, they say, I hope this heat wave finishes soon. And when it's 34, the houses aren't built for heat, our transport system doesn't have AC, everybody's suffering a lot. And the government is telling us, this is the new norm. This is how it's going to be every summer. and summer's going to start early and finish late. And so prices, agriculture, what's going to happen? So that's one side of it, the natural disasters. But the state of human intellects, where there's just a quarrel going on in every home about something, 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 something. But on the world scale, how many wars are going on? Everybody's thinking about the two big ones, whether it's Israel and Gaza or whether it's Russia and Ukraine. But there's many wars going on all over the world apart from this. And so where are we headed? When violence reaches a very high level, then, and the heat, physical heat is on, temperatures boil over, and things that a normal, reasonable person wouldn't think of doing, when the head gets heated and it's not thinking properly, people do the strangest things. They are not aware of what's happening and what the repercussions are going to be. And so the scenario for upheaval of all the elements has started. And the third one, nuclear war. We've never been as close to danger as we are today. And so all of these things will happen, but they'll happen so that souls can be liberated from their bodies in one way or another. And God takes everyone back home. But those who want to understand this here and now and practice these things here and now, they will go through the transformation. Others won't have that possibility because they're not interested in God. They're only interested in materialism and the things of the external. It's fine. Let them enjoy. But there's a price to pay for that. And they don't realize that. So we're seeing how everything is on knife edge. And things can go this way or they can go that way. And what Baba's told us is that once the Brahmins are ready, once the inner transformation has happened for at least a critical mass to be reached within the minority, then that will impact the majority. The majority will also say, yes, we understand spirituality is important. At the moment, they're not saying this, but they will. And so, if I just say, can there be only transformation of the soul and the world continues as it is? What's the state of the world? You know, there's no more fresh water, very little. Water is going to become as expensive as oil. Or even more so, because you can't drink oil, you can drink water. And so things are moving absolutely in a situation that we're going to see drastic changes happen by the end of this year and next year. Just imagine pre-COVID life and post-COVID life. It's so different. So different. And the values that we had pre-COVID, today we don't have those same values. The values that we had when I was growing up a child, and some of you came around later, and when you were growing up as children in India, it was a different world. And so already we've reached the end of Kali Yuga, really. So it's time for liberation. Today, Baba's Murali. People are so caught up in distress. Can you not show them the way to be liberated and go home? So have mercy on those souls. So it's going to be a cleansing, liberation, and then the preparation for the next period, which will happen very soon. I took time to explain this now. One last question, because I'd like us to close with a few minutes of silence.
Om Shanti, sister. It's so peaceful to hear your talk right now. Thank you so much. I'm from Delhi, I'm exposed to Raj Yoga only for the last 2 months. I have had some anxiety bouts and I wanted to come here for peace. I started listening. I have felt more peace inside. But every time I'm in the center or I'm listening, my mind is calm. But the moment I go out and I start working, I'm a healthcare professional as well, and I start working, some of the other negative thoughts keep coming. So how do I manage that through the day? I mean, I'm trying hard. Just started now though.
Fill your mind with God's light and love through meditation first thing in the morning, so you move in the right track. Second, listen to the Murali every day, or hear the Murali, read the Murali, have access to the Murali. Best is to go personally to a center so you catch the vibrations also. But if not every day, at least once a week. And the rest of the week, study the Murali. So you're feeding your mind very powerful, nourishing, elevated thoughts. And then through the day, practice traffic control. Every hour, on the hour, remind yourself of these things. And that will also keep you on track. If you've gone off track a little bit, you'll come back on track. There's many, many things that can help you and sustain you. But the more you study, the more you learn, and the more you move forward. Let's have a few minutes of meditation to close. Music nahi chahiye. In the awareness of who I am, I, the inner being, the soul, shine. I come back to my natural state of peace. And in this awareness of peace, I feel the presence of God. Shiva, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, the one who is the truth, the one who is Shiva, the benefactor, and the one who is the most beautiful. And as I focus on Shiv Baba, it is as if Baba's light and love reach out to me, and I'm drawn into close proximity with my mother, who gives me unconditional love. What I am, who I am, what I am not, simply doesn't matter. My mother holds me in her warm embrace. I connect with my father, the one who has a huge treasure store of happiness that he wishes to give to me. My teacher. The one who fills me with wisdom so that I can move towards truth. My friend, the one with whom I can share whatever's in my heart. The Satguru, the one who liberates me from the chains of illusion, of Maya, liberates me from all sorrow and suffering. And offers me the journey home again. All of God's qualities reach the soul, the light, the love, the truth. These qualities also radiate out into the world so that the human family can benefit. Having filled myself all the treasures from the divine, as God's light spreads out, the darkness is dispelled and the day begins. And as I come back to the awareness of the physical dimension, this place here and now, I become aware of the world around me now, but I keep my inner link with myself and with Baba, so that this influences my thinking, my speaking, and my doing. Om Shanti.